What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's June 16th, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, June 15th. It's 3 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm Trey. That's Mark. Mark, did you enjoy the White House UFC event last night?
I did. I was going to ask you. It was a pretty big sporting weekend. I was going to ask you which one you watched. Was the NBA Finals, the kickoff of the World Cup, or the pedophiles bare knuckle brawl birthday party streaming live on Paramount Plus.
The only one I didn't watch was the last one. I mean, I had shows all weekend in Florida, so a lot of times I was on stage when shit was happening, but it was always on in the green room or afterwards. Donnie Singstack was with me on the road, and I saw the Knicks win. Our shows were over by the time that happened. They won the championship. We watched Team USA beat the shit out of Paraguay and some other soccer games. So, been watching a lot of soccer. I watched soccer on the way out here. Normally, with the World Cup, I only really watch the U.S.'s games, but I've been watching whole other countries this time, Mark. It's really been something. Cape Verde tied Spain at 0 earlier. Now you're like, a 0-0 tie. Ooh, but it really was fucking sweet.
That's the biggest, like I was reading, like, so Cape Verde, them tying Spain is something like me dunking on Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
It is the biggest thing. It is the biggest soccer accomplishment most of those players will ever have in their life.
Yeah.
And I was reading an interview with them after. A couple of the guys were crying because they wished their families were there, but they couldn't afford to be there because the Trump administration made people from Cape Verde pay a $15,000 travel bond to put up before they could even get a visa.
Every person? Mm-hmm. Or... That is fucking crazy.
That's like different countries got different amounts depending on like whether or not their risks for terrorism right. or being
so
black.
Does that mean if they came over right? But does that mean that they come over here and they don't steal anything, then they get that money back?
If you leave the country and don't, if you don't like overstay your visa, then you get your 15 grand. That
right.
is my understanding.
Yeah,
but like I was thinking about this. So the UFC thing, ostensibly, like. First of all, you and I are different varieties of white trash, and the white trash comes in a lot of different varieties in the United States. But, like, you know, we're both small Southerners from small town. Like, we love tacky ghost shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am at my limit with tacky ghost shit.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking dirt bikes doing stunts in front of the, not the White House.
Yeah, right.
But a facade of the White House in front of the actual White House because the actual White House is blocked with other stupid shit.
Yeah, I know. It isn't my jokes. I just saw a tweet that said, like, this looks like it's from like a live action Disney movie from the 90s where a 12-year-old gets to be the president of the United States. With all the dirt bikes flipping around everywhere and everything. It's like the people that made Blank Check, if they made a movie where a kid was president, this is what it would look like.
But there's the alternate version of it. Like, that's like the first half of the movie where the kid's fucking up before he takes the responsibility serious.
Yeah, you know he would come around in the end and actually,
And that's Zoran Mogdami running around New York fixing potholes in a fucking Jalen Brunson jersey, rapping with Jose Alvarado during a Puerto Rican Pride Day parade, along rapping Jadakiss. Like, it's like the two different fucking kid politicians. It's like, it's absolutely insane. And like, but I was thinking about the Cape Verde thing, If we were going to do something to celebrate our 250th birthday, why wasn't the World Cup the thing?
Yeah, we already had it. I know. It's crazy.
It's like 250 is a pretty young for a country, right? It's like, rest of the world, the new world, Hoko is doing Canada and Mexico, some peaceful North American neighbors, supposedly, right? Until Trump invades them. And then, like, we're like, y'all come over the new world soon, we're done with it, right? Like, I was saying, like, Cape Verde, I don't know, I didn't know much about Cape Verde until this morning I was reading about him, but, like, there's, like, there used to be a Portuguese colony, right? I read this fascinating story about how, like, there was a ship from Baltimore supposed to go to Brazil full of musical instruments. They got blown off course, the crew abandoned the ship or whatever, and it washed up in Cape Verde, and they fucking just kept the instruments and invented new kinds of music that they made a documentary about it. Someone described it as, like, African folk space disco, right?
That sounds cool.
I would like to see a concert before a thing where we talked about all the Cape Verdean Americans who like came over here during the whaling trade and make up like 2-3% of Rhode Island to this day and like 2% of Massachusetts or whatever. Like, you could have, I didn't know this, Tony Gonzalez is descended from Cape Verdeans, right? So you could have, Gonzalez could have hasted it. Like, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, she's dead, but there's other musicians on the Wikipedia page for Cape Verdean. Like, we could have done something cool with this, right?
Yeah.
There's a character.
Right. I know, instead, we've made it, like, not as, so far, not as much of a nightmare as, like, people thought, but there's been some bullshit, I know. Like, one of the premier soccer refs in the world was not allowed into the country because he's Somali. And, you know, there's just been some other shitty stuff like that. On the other hand, I know a lot of just, like, regular people that are here from other countries to just to watch and shit. I know a lot of them are having fun with how fat and American and everything we are, and it's funny to them, and it's hitting for people. You know?
But there's also the joyful part. Like I saw, like, there's a guy from Ireland, which is he happened to be black, which is important to the story. He was recording himself walking around a grocery store trying to find the best American snacks, and a black lady was like, "I didn't know they had us in Ireland." But she helps him pick out fucking Twinkies and shit. He was like, "I want to try it," but he's like, she was trying to tell him where to get a deep fried Twinkie because they were in Texas. And like, there's like the fucking the bonding between the Koreans and Mexicans has been really heartwarming to watch. They're getting drunk together in tequila in parking lots in Mexico City, and like, there's all kinds of cool shit going on. I saw like the Danes like doing a mosh pit outside of the Cowboys Stadium there was like people live tweeting. Like, a bunch of Japanese tourists had never had free chips and salsa at Tex-Mex restaurants before, and they were, like, having a lot of fun with free chips and salsa. I'm like, it's really fun to see your country through the eyes of people who've never been here.
Yeah, right.
Some Germans had a blast.
A bunch of Scots went to, like, a Boston Red Sox game and were interviewed about it, and that was funny because they had no idea what was going on.
They took over Boston. Scott, they found them. Remember the cop who slid down the slide in Boston and fucking got his shit wrecked when he fell into the grass?
Yep.
So the Scottish guy played bagpipes who went down that famous slide. It was fucking cool. Like, it's like, we could have done something really cool with the World Cup and America's birthday. Instead, we fucking got some C-list UFC fighters, one of which he said, I forget the exact quote. It's like, the only person I respect more than myself is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Michelle Obama as a man.
Yeah, like, no, he was like, he goes, fuck this speech, shout out Trump, he's the only one that has the balls to do fucking shit like this. And I'll tell you right now, the only person more incredible than the Incredible Hulk, which is himself, is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, Michelle Obama is a man, am I right, America? And even at that crowd, it didn't sound to me like it sounded. I think even that crowd was mostly like, fucking whoa. Like, it's not like it got like a big uproar, ovation or anything, even amongst those people. Bro, he just kind of walked off awkwardly. Not awkwardly to him. He thought he fucking crushed it. He don't give a fuck. But
there were 30-year-old drunk adults there who they would have been 11 years old when Michelle Obama became first lady.
Right.
Oh, it's so, this is shit. So I'm so fucking tired. Everyone's tired of this shit.
Right.
Michelle Obama was never like this. She never bothered you. She fucking tried to get people to eat vegetables for a little while. And everybody yelled at her for it. And she, like, she's a mother of two. It is like, it's just like, I, for the life of me, man, it's all so fucking weird. But like, so FIFA tried to get, soccer itself exists separately from FIFA, which is a corrupt, evil organization, right?
Yeah. Right.
They tried,
famously.
Like, a bunch of like people tried to get FIFA to ask the American government to basically calm down with the ICE shit while the whole world's here for a month watching fucking football.
Right.
And they declined to even try, even though they have a big swinging dick. They definitely could have fucking tried. So now people are trying to pressure the sponsors to like put pressure. It's like, so Adidas, you know, the moral vanguards of Adidas, McDonald's, Unilever, Visa, and Valvoline, please save us from ICE. The only thing, like, so I enjoyed watching the Paraguay U.S. men's national team. Can we get how come we don't have mascots for the national teams? We call them the U.S. men's national team. And do other countries separate their men and women like that? Or like, is it just us? I don't fucking know.
I don't know. But, I mean, I know that some of them do. I mean, I've wondered that before, but across all of soccer where it's like, some of them have like names, like mascot names or whatever, and then a lot of them like just don't. They just seem like generic. I guess the Egyptian team, I guess, is the Pharaohs, which is cool because they were saying that on the broadcast earlier, which that makes sense and that's rad. I thought we had a something that was sort of that, but nobody ever uses it. But I can't remember what it is. like the Yanks or something, but I don't think that's
it. That's fine. We could be the Mary, the Bald Eagles, the American Flags, whatever, man. I can even pick something. But, like, yeah, it's like, so the U.S. men's national team is what I'll say instead of that. We beat Paraguay 4-1, right? And, like, I always felt bad because it cut to Paraguayan fans in the stands who were crying.
Like, right.
This is still the round robin, what do you call it? This isn't the knockout
round
yet.
Group stage.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I did feel bad because, like, Americans don't even really. But, like, the star of that match was Fowler and Balogun. Cool-ass name, by the way. Kind of rhymes. Had two goals. And, like, they had the ref hat camera.
Yeah, he had three. One of them got called back for offsides. And then he scored, like, right after that. Like, 2 minutes later, he scored anyway. It was pretty sweet.
He jukes one guy out of his shoes, got around another one, then scored on the goalie in front of 100,000 home fans in the World Cup for his second goal of a fucking, to basically put the game away. That's got to be the coolest feeling in the world, right?
Yeah.
How close we came to missing out on this? Right now, the Trump administration is at the Supreme Court asking to have the citizenship of guys like Feller and Balogun negated because he's a birthright citizen. What happened was his mom was pregnant. These parents were here, I think, for some sort of sporting event. Let me read this to you. Sorry. Balogun was still in utero when his mother visited New York on vacation, but the return trip never happened as the airline refused to let her board the plane due to the size of her belly and how close she was to giving birth. As it happened, Balogun was born in Brooklyn and was off to London months later, where he fell in love with football and came up through the Arsenal Academy. So now he plays for us, right? Trump would just fucking deport him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's your walking argument for letting excellent people who want to be here come in, whether they be from Cape Verde, fucking Feller and Balogun, or whatever. Just like, come on, come on, be Americans, you rule. Yeah.
Yep. It's the way it ought to be. Even Ronald Reagan felt that way.
Was the first multi-goal World Cup game by a U.S. men's national player since 1930. So that's how much all the white guys have not been able to fucking do that. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get right into it. Why not? We're just going to start, that's what we do now, with the Daily Dumbass, Matt. Graphic, please. This week's DD is the Hamburglar for not knowing that the real money was in stealing potato chips.
Well, first off, beef is still an incredible value, and I get it. We're not used to paying $8 or $9 for a pound of ground beef, but you compare the nutrition in a pound of beef a $9 bag of chips, and I would tell you beef still packs a powerful punch.
What? So, a $9 bag of chips.
Yeah, I guess like it would be 3 bags of chips, but calorie-wise, Cripps truck crushes hamburgers. So I guess he means protein-wise, so yes, you'd probably have to eat $200 worth of potato chips to get the amount of protein that I found in a hamburger.
Well, also, he might as well compare it to like Snickers bars or something. I mean, I fucking love chips. They're my biggest food vice, probably, but they're empty calories. You know, meat is fucking... Meat, it's just a dumb thing to say to make the linchpin of your argument for why it's okay that meat call. It's like, well, look, what if you want nutrition and to survive, you know, you're gonna have to pay a little more for that in this country.
Are you ingrates really gonna put a price on not starving to death? As sort of like, but you can also flip the argument sort of like, well, sure, not $10 per pound of hamburger sounds expensive, but have you tried eating a Lamborghini? So yeah. So one of the reasons hamburgers are so expensive right now, besides the tariffs and trade policies and shit, is because of screwworm and the outbreak that's currently happening. But so I wanted to talk about that screwworm today. Let's start by talking about a couple guys named Edward F. Nippling and Raymond C. Bushland. Nippling and Bushland sounds like an erotic TNT cop show, but it's not. They were two USDA scientists who developed something called the sterile insect technique, which created the blueprint for the screwworm's containment, which is the world we've been living in since the 1960s. You might not know this, but this continent used to be overrun by something called the New World screwworm, which is awful and devastating, which we're going to spend today learning a little bit about. So their research was federally funded, which is an important part of this, and while we're talking about it.
Right. Is that the thing where it's like they somehow genetically engineer like sterile bugs that they drop in places to fuck the other bugs, but they don't reproduce because they're sterile. Yeah, that's such a wild ass thing that happens. We do that over like the Darien Gap or whatever, I think, like where it's Central America, to keep shit from down there from getting up here or whatever. Mm-hmm. We do that with bugs whose dicks we fucked with.
Like,
that's so wild, dude. Science is wild.
So what Nippling did, Nippling grew up on a farm outside of Houston, and he hated screwworms, that anybody who's ever dealt with him would, and he was fascinated with trying to figure out ways to stop them. And one thing he realized early on was that female screwworms only mate once in their life cycle. So if you trick them into fucking a dud that one time, there would mm-hmm. be no larvae and no screwworm maggots, right? So he worked on it from the 1930s through the 1950s. He did take a break to go to World War II to help stop the spread of typhus and malaria. But he did that by helping to invent DDT.
Win some, you lose some, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So but he did. Here's the hero turn there. He hated the environmental destruction of DDT. He felt bad about it, which is when he redoubled his efforts to work on sterile insect theory, because it's a much better way to do it, right? Doesn't give anyone cancer to make bugs' dicks not work. So after he finished doing all that stuff to help, doing all the bug stuff to help kill Hitler, he, went back to the screwworms things. And if you throw that picture back up, Matt, here's Nippling and Bushland working together. They became friends while watching screwworms fuck in a laboratory in the breeding cages. So just like two all-American heroes right there.
Yeah.
Ask them to become race relations. Shared interest,
what it's all about. So you gotta find your people, you know?
Yeah. So the main thing I know about their efforts is, like, once they were successful, and it took a lot of work over years and years, and a lot of research funding, but they saved the U.S. about $1.8 billion each year, plus a lot of the misery and grossness of dealing with screwworm maggots, which are awful, and we're going to talk about them. Oh, this whole situation, yeah, reminds me of this famous cartoon. You might have seen it on the floating around the internet, but it's a picture of, like, this weird contraption that's about to fall over, teetering on this little toothpick leg, and it says, and the whole thing holding it up is a project some random person in Nebraska has been thanklessly maintaining since 2003, right?
Right.
Except here, it's since the 1960s. So if you're wondering what happened to that little thing and why it's not holding stuff up anymore, we're going to talk about Doge in a minute. So, what's the current plan to deal with the screwworm outbreak, which is now up to, I think, 12 cases in Texas, mostly around San Antonio, 10 cattle, I think, and one goat and one dog. But the thing about that is, for the 12 you can count, there's probably 100 times more of that you're not counting in undetected livestock infections, but also nobody counts wildlife, which is an important part here. You can't fucking stop unless you stop in wildlife. You can't do it just by veterinarians going around. It's not going to fucking work. So here's Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, trying to describe to us on the ground in Texas what the current plan is.
And in fact, I have Dr. Sean Connolly here, right there. Come over here, Sean, from the Department of Homeland Security. He was former President Trump's personal doctor in the first term, but now has a policy role on this. I'll let you say a couple things too, Dr. Connolly. But the importance of, again, across the federal agencies, Department of Homeland Security, we talked yesterday about using their drones and perhaps it through very innovation, having an artificial intelligence piece of this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So, oh, no.
We got a three-pronged part of this. We're going to have the president's personal doctor on it.
Yeah.
We got some drones we're going to do drone stuff with. And then we're in the process of innovating some AI to put on the drones.
Right.
To do something to screwworms.
Right. It's just like modern day, you know, gobbledygook buzzword shit that makes some people think that, oh, there's a plan. But it's like, what the fuck? What are you going to use AI and AI-powered drones for in fighting? Can you, like, identify screwworm cases with some kind of predator vision on a drone in the air or some shit?
Well, that's what they're going to invent. We gotta ask ChatGPT to invent that so then we can use it.
Right, yeah, sure.
Again, I just want to reiterate, we already fucking solved this problem.
Right.
They unsolved the solved problem.
Okay, so can we, and I assume you're getting to this maybe, but can we just do that again?
Yes, it'll just take a lot more work. But since 2020, the cost of beef has nearly doubled, all right? And so, like, again, I just want to put, like, people, they eat other stuff. I'm not trying to be fucking, nobody's going to starve to death over this shit. The people that are really going to, like, suffer directly and immediate are, like, ranchers and stuff and insurance companies, I imagine. But I want to, before we get into, like, this specifically, I want to talk about the state of the federal regulatory apparatus under the Trump administration for a second. There's an agency called the Animal and Plant Inspection Service, which is called APHIS for some reason. I'm not sure where the H comes from, probably my stupidity, but it's the agency responsible for containing and mitigating the spread of invasive pests in the United States. And they've all been working from home because their office has bed bugs.
Right. Yeah. does not instill a lot of confidence in the anti-infestation people. They can't go into the office because it's so infested.
Yes. So all this is so stupid. They first told employees of the situation in mid-May, and told five employees who released leaked a transcript of a town hall meeting they had with their bosses. The department sent them home, allowed them to do telework for a few days to fumigate the building. But when they came back, they complained about the fumes. They got sick because they were getting sick from the fucking fumes. And the USDA's like, okay, you fucking whiny bitches, you can work from home again for a little while. They're the only people currently allowed to work from home. But the Trump administration is the people they're poisoning with gas and bed bugs. They didn't just give them bed bugs. They gassed them with cancer poison. So then Friday, 2 weeks ago, they told them, okay, the bed bugs are back, even after we fumigated. But this time, even though they announced the bed bugs are back, they're not letting them work from home anymore. They're mandating they come to work and get bed bugs. In an email to staff last Friday, person named Holly suggested the employees were responsible for the return of the bed bugs as they engaged in, quote, insufficient compliance regarding personal items, end quote. It's your guys' fault for you came to work and you got bed bugs, but then you came back to work wearing clothes. So it's your fucking fault.
Yeah, you got the bed bugs here and then you left and then brought the bed bugs back. Because, I mean, dude, fucking knock on wood. I've never fucked with bed bugs. I don't know if you have, but I understand it's like you got to fucking set everything on fire pretty much to fully stamp them out. It's a real pain in the ass, apparently. So. I mean, obviously, the fucking people in charge of not having bugs can't get rid of them. So obviously, they're pretty persistent.
They have the entirety of the federal government's resources to fight bugs available, and to fight bugs, they can't beat the bugs. They just fucking surrendered. Howley instructed employees to place all those belongings, I guess their clothes, into garbage bags and remove them from the building. So get naked, put your shit in a bag so we can burn it and go back to work in your drawers, or just buck-ass naked. So they're probably... they're obviously not working naked, so I guess they're bringing the bed bugs back every fucking day. And kids obviously probably took them to school because they're not letting... like, you made your employees get bed bugs. These people, are they not aware of how spreading shit works? You know what I'm saying? Like, every employee there basically do volunteer work at every rich school, like private school in the D.C. area to make sure all the fucking people they work for get bed bugs as well. Is my only solution to this. Let me quote here. Many Republic employees rely on public transportation and had not received instruction on preventing the spread of insects in that setting. So they're giving everyone in fucking D.C., the greater D.C. and Maryland area, bed bugs.
Right. Yeah, not only can they're not containing the bed bug infestation in their office, they're actively spreading bed bugs.
Yes.
The agency in charge of not letting infestations happen.
Yeah, and if they
Trump's America, baby.
If they weren't otherwise occupied, being the Lucy of the Chocolate Factory of fighting bug infestations, you might be wondering, yes, APHIS is one of the agencies that would be fighting the schoolroom outbreak, but of course DOGE cut them their headcount by 25%. I guess let's hope those were just the bedbug police and not the schoolroom police they fucking defunded. So it's really hard in general to see the absence of something.
Right.
But... the absence of state capacity, which like this is becoming so evident that you can fucking see it from space. So I want to talk about state capacity for a second. So, like I said, this spring in the United States, we're seeing our first domestic schoolroom cases in cattle since the 1960s. This year, we've also had 2,300 cases of measles. Last year, it was 2,300, which is the most since 1991. And there have already been 2,000 cases so far in 2026, and it's only June, so we're on pace to double that, right? Our status as a country eliminating measles is under review. It's so weird how Trump has the best luck in world history when it comes to himself.
Right.
And the worst luck in world history when it comes to stuff like managing disease outbreaks and bug outbreaks. It's almost like he's doing something.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, right. It's not. I don't know if that second part's luck. You know.
Right.
Yeah, he manages to fuck everything up. Like, the reflecting pool or whatever.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Like, he spent $14 million or whatever painting it blue because it's more American or something, but now it's overrun with algae and looks like a swamp. Mm-hmm. And that's whatever. But the MAGA influencers were going down there and making videos and stuff talking about how that the left like contaminated it with algae because they hate Trump so much and can't stand to see him do anything, and the left had sabotaged it instead of just him fucking it up. And it's like, you just, you know,
I think they look, the MAGA industrial complex is its own little world here, but I think most people in the real world understand that the people who are annoyed by the reflecting pool stuff understand as a small scale of the large scale corruption they're doing, given a no bid contract to a company that doesn't even do pool shit to do the pool shit, right?
Right.
But it's also just like the people, we in general, if that, you sent me that video of that guy, was a Grant Stinchfield or something, is his name?
Yeah, he's a radio host or something.
Yeah. Grant, if you're watching, the reason we eye roll at it is because you care so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us never cared if the bottom of the reflecting pool was covered in a fake blue lining. Would you not care enough to fucking sabotage it either?
Right.
It's the same not caring. Or you were doing the same caring.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. okay. Okay, so we're about to get into school rooms. We'll probably take a quick break before we get into that.
Yes,
right?
And then we can talk about maggots right after this. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer's funny, you know. Everybody acts like it's time for R&R, but not really, you know. For some people, summer is the dream. Kids are out of school, coolers full, every weekend's its own little adventure. But for other people, summer is a whole new part-time job on top of the actual full-time job they totally still have. You got to juggle childcare because they're not in school anymore, travel because everybody's wanting to take a trip, and everybody's disparate schedules. You're hot, you're tired. Somewhere in the back of your mind, the little voice is going, you're wasting it, the good weather's slipping by, and you're in here losing your mind. Both of those summer experiences are real, and sometimes they can happen on the same day, right? But here's what I've learned the hard way. You can't pour out of an empty cup, all right? If you spend the whole season being the one who makes everybody else's summer happen, you never once build in 5 minutes that's just yours. That's a recipe for summertime disaster. Well, therapy, as always, can help, and BetterHelp makes it easier than ever to get there. It's the world's largest online therapy platform with over 30,000 therapists, more than 6 million people served to date and counting, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars for live sessions with more than 1.7 million client reviews. That's a hell of a sample size, y'all. All of their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S., and they're held to a strict code of conduct. It's easy. You just fill out a short questionnaire. They will match you up with a therapist, and after 12-plus years of doing that, they usually nail it the first time. But if they don't, if you don't vibe or whatever, you can switch therapists anytime, no hassle. Totally up to you, no risk whatsoever. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's Better, BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews. For 10% off. Better help. Help yourself. Weekly Skews is brought to you by the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. In recent months, President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission has been meeting regularly, and not, as their name might have you believe, to protect religious liberty for everybody. No. It's been meeting instead to figure out how to push a, you guessed it, Christian nationalist agenda in this country. Religious liberty, right there on the letterhead, while they do the exact opposite. That don't sound like them, does it? I know. Here's what religious freedom is actually supposed to be. That's your right to hold whatever your beliefs are and live them out, as long as you're not harming anybody else, right? And this includes kids, obviously. I'd reckon every single one of us can agree on that much, you'd think, but that's not how it's actually playing out. Taxpayer-funded adoption and foster care agencies, that means operated with your money, are turning away loving homes, and they're using religion as the velvet rope. They're only letting in people that have the right type of faith. If you believe that religious freedom should protect everybody and not get weaponized to slam the door on good families trying to foster and adopt needy kids, we need you in this fight now. Visit au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight is far from over, and every one of us has a part to play. That's au.org/crooked. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Quince. Summer changes how I get dressed, whether I want it to or not. You know, once it gets hot, I got no interest in anything heavy. Not me. No, you know, I'm a hefty boy. I run hot. You know, been that way my whole life. I like stuff that's light, breathable, easy to throw on. But you know, I'd still like it to look like I made a choice that morning instead of just grabbing whatever didn't stink. You know, I don't want to look too bad. And that's why I like Quince, because even like a slobby dumbass like me, they can make me look like I hit. You know, that's what they do over there. They do. They also make people who already hit look like they hit. I'm just saying that's how good it is that even I can. They do high quality essentials at Quince. Breathable linen, soft organic cotton, well-made basics without the luxury markup that makes you feel out of place at the checkout, right? It's the that rare combination where everything looks elevated but feels effortless. Everything's priced 50 to 80% less than comparable brands, and the reason it's that cheap and that good is that they work straight with ethical factories and cut out the middleman entirely, so you pay for the quality and not just somebody's logo. It's the kind of brand you catch yourself recommending to people for everything out there, right? I just got my Quince stuff in the mail yesterday. It just came. I got one of them linen button-up jobs, you know, with, like, short stuff, because I was like, I'll go to, like, somewhere on the Central California Gold Coast and drink a glass of wine while wearing this, and people might not know that I'm Tennessee trash, because it looks, it's elevated. It looks like a nice California type of, you know, not trash. It's a cool shirt that keeps you cool in the summertime and makes you feel good too. And I got a bunch of other stuff from them I'm excited about. So do like me and elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/skew for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Pretty sweet. Now available in Canada, too, by the way. That's quince.com/skew for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/skew.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 Biggie Bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 Biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
All right, we're back. Yeah, Mark, I don't know if you know this. I'm not to be a, you know, huge puss out here or nothing, but I don't. Bugs super do not hit for me. I don't know where you're at on bugs. I wouldn't say that. I've always said, like, I'm not like afraid of bugs, like that they'll do something to me. I'm just incredibly disgusted by them.
I don't like them. Like,
but I don't know how that's different, really. That might still be like an entomophobia or something, but I find them just so revolting. It's, you know, I just don't like bugs.
Isn't it like a standard human thing to be? I mean, that's part of, like, I think it's part of, like, our, like, defense mechanism to be afraid of, like, little creepy crawly things. Like, I think in general people don't like snakes and bugs. I think it's just like a normal human thing. Or I'm a coward like you. I don't know.
Okay.
So, screwworm, the Latin Greek sort of species name is Cochleomaya hominivorax, which I can't say it right. It doesn't matter. Nice. The part I wanted to say it for is because the translation is man-eater. Okay? They've escaped containment in South America. Like, we were talking about the Daring Gap in a second. They made it back to Texas, where, like I said before, they've not been seen since 1966. All the cases so far are around San Antonio. So what they do is, what makes these flies, their maggot situation a little different, is they're the only maggots that eat living flesh. All right? The flies lay their eggs on mucous membranes, you know, your eyes, open wounds, but also eyes, lips, butthole, and medically speaking, your cooter if you got one.
Bro, see? I knew it'd be like this. We're just getting started. Oh, such a nightmare, the bug world. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, we'll get to the nightmare quick. The nightmare, speed running the nightmare part. They can dig through skin, muscle, even a human skull. I looked for a not-that-bad photo, and I actually found one. It's not that – I'm warning you. I'll tell you when to look away for half a second if you want to, but it's not that bad. But this is a wound from a guy who skinned his knee in Costa Rica. and got most of the they treated it in Costa Rica and got most of them out. When he got back to Canada, they still there's still more in there, and that's the hole a few maggots made in his cat in his shin.
Okay, what do you mean he skinned his, like that leads to it? Something like his knee was skinned, and then the fly landed on it.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the good news is there is a treatment. It's called ivermectin, and we drank it all to cure a disease that doesn't work on.
No fucking way.
No way.
Yeah, everybody go down and go get your horse dewormer because it works on this shit too.
They'll start taking fucking COVID vaccines for sure.
Yeah. This is how we get them to take the COVID. Yeah. This is how we get them to take the COVID vaccine. It's like the big pharma is telling you to take ivermectin for the squirrel. What they won't tell you is this is what the COVID vaccine is for. And all the shaking you do when you get the COVID vaccine, that's to shake out the fucking maggots. Never doing it now. So, yeah, over the past few years, they've been making their way north. Part of that's because of climate change, right? The world's changing. We got to figure out ways to do it. And you talked about we've created this artificial boundary at Darien Gap, which, you know, how wide is Darien Gap? It's like 12 miles or something.
I don't know the
narrowest part of Latin America, yeah.
So I don't know about you. I'm sure you probably did because you're you. But I didn't even know about that place until Pluribus, the Vince Gilligan Apple show. And I was like, and I was kind of blown away by that. I just sort of figured, I didn't know there was anywhere left on these continents over here that was like pretty completely impassable, basically. But like you can't drive from North America to South America because there's a fucking jungle that's so hospitable right there in the middle of it that we just don't even, we were like, well, that just ain't happening. But that is also where they dumped all these dickless bugs, right?
Yeah.
Because Panama is like, it's a bottleneck. So you like shut it down right there and it's like, you know, it's like a barrier.
Yeah. Guy, the good Lord Jesus gave us a natural land barrier to keep out these screwworms and we have fucked it up. But yeah, the USDA maintains or works to maintain when not sabotaged by the White House an international screwworm barrier along the Panama-Colombia border. It takes constant human effort. Every week, planes drop 14.7 million sterilized screwworms over the rainforest in the Darien Gap. That artificial barrier has been in place for 50 years, longer than the people who work on it now, obviously, have been alive for the most part.
Every week for 50 years, 15 million screwworms? That's fucking nuts.
When I tell you that that's cartoonish show, like a person you never heard of working on a thing, like the unseen, like soft. So to raise these maggots, they eat blood, right? They have to give them a mixture of like dried milk paste and blood. They have to ship in. The facility supposedly smells terrible. Right?
Oh God, yeah, the fucking the dickless maggot factory. That's where my daddy. My daddy worked at the dickless maggot factory. but still, it's important, you know.
Very important. They do it so we don't have to. These people are fucking heroes, man. Right. Give them a day. Dude. Give them free tickets to the World Cup without the fucking $15,000 bond to come watch Panama play Colombia or whatever they're into. So yeah, it's a joint work commission of Panama's Agriculture Department and the USDA, known as COPEG, or I'm going to fuck this up, the Comisión Panamá Estados Unidos para la Erradicación y Prevención del Gusano Bernador el Ganado. A long name for the dickless maggot factory.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, just nippling in Bushland's, you know, spiritual descendants, quiet professionals making life better for the rest of us by watching flies fuck and then cutting their dicks off with radiation. So, as far as how do we fix this, this is not some intractable problem. This is something that can be fixed with more investment than would have been required otherwise. But the USDA estimates that we need to produce something like 400 million or 500 million sterile flies per week. You know, that's a lot more than the 14.7 we were dropping over Panama, which is up from the 100 million a week with the single factory we have producing sterile flies in the United States. So basically, we're just like, we're not even holding back the tide at this point. We're producing 20% of what we need to stop it. So we're barely slowing it down.
Sorry if I like missed this part. What changed that? I mean, is it just Doge or whatever? Like cuts is what, so that's how, because if we were doing that the whole time and it was working, you know, we cut that program or something.
Global warming, which, you know, isn't directly our government's fault. But you know what I'm saying. So, and then, but yes, with Doge defunding, we talked about this back in October. You guys are not having a deja vu. So we were able to predict it back in October. We talked about how this was a coming crisis they were not fucking ready for. At that point, I remember talking about it and said I couldn't find anything that Doge had done to cause this. I was fucking wrong. Because what I was doing was looking for the funding for the fly breeding efforts. Where they cut was all their surveillance efforts. So we were still making the flies. We were just completely blind with how many we needed and where we needed to put them.
Right. If the surveillance had not been cut, then they would have known that they needed to increase output at the Dickless Maggot Factory. But because they weren't doing surveillance, they didn't know that and just kept doing the same thing. But the problem was getting bigger, but not the response to the problem was not.
It's almost like right now the Trump administration is pulling up ocean monitoring equipment out of the ocean that measures the temperature of the warming waters. Because if you don't know about it,
right,
it's not a problem.
Just like,
right?
Yeah, like the COVID testing and shit in Florida and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everything. So what they did, me lay a couple of these out here. So Doge cuts in the spring of 2025 terminated USAID funding for a program that monitored and contained the screwworm in Central America. And a month later, they cut USDA funding that supported screwworm outbreak investigations and responses in 22 countries. They completely terminated an international screwworm monitoring program in Central America. And then after Biden closed southern ports of entry to allow cattle from Mexico to box out the screwworm back in 2024, Trump reopened those ports in February of 2025, then closed them again in May after he realized they were fucking up. So they opened to Mexican cattle for a couple months, I guess to get beef prices down. So it was a temporary boondoggle to meat processors that ended up it's going to do severe damage to the meatpacking industry in large for a temporary fucking band-aid that didn't even do anything. Either way, it all worked out great. It's fixed now because we don't know how many screwworms there are.
Right.
It's also fucking stupid.
But steak capacity, what is that?
What is steak?
A
government's ability to do stuff.
State capacity. Oh, okay. The capacity of the state.
Trey has a master's degree. Yeah.
I was thinking, this whole time, I was like, that headline Matt put up there a minute ago, it said Trump's war on state capacity or whatever. I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we used to the parties used to disagree about how to manage their institutions, but they did not. But they agreed there needed to be institutions. What's different about Trump and MAGA is they don't think there needs to be anyone responsible overseeing anything.
Right.
It just doesn't exist. We're currently governed by the most irresponsible fucking short-term thinking children on the planet. We talk about their voters a lot, but they're no. Most voters wouldn't do. The people that voted for this don't know. Like, they would not vote to bring back. Like, someone should probably keep an eye on the fucking screwworms. Like,
they don't know. I mean, that's right. The thing. They just want, like, small government or whatever, and you're wasting all this money and shit, but they don't. They have no idea that this was. I mean, dude, I didn't know this was happening until relatively recently, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's tons of shit like this that's going on that. Keep society from the brink in various ways that people just have no idea is even happening. And then other shit like we talked a ton about before about like measles and stuff like that. It's like these like technological advances and medical miracles and stuff made it possible that we can live life without these things. But that happened so long ago now that people don't appreciate it anymore, or just they don't. There's no like living memory of how horrific all this shit was, and so people just get like complacent and ungrateful, and they just think it's a waste of money because it's like I don't even know anybody with polio, you know. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. It's like my mom, there's a reason for that.
My mom remembers her dad taking her down to the county a firehouse in the little rural county where she grew up, where I grew up too, but like. To get the polio vaccine the day it came out. They waited in line in their car. She remembers it. Like, because it was like, he was like, we're getting this fucking vaccine. Because he knew people with polio. Right? But they like the thing that I was reading articles about, that included quotes from farmers when the sterile insect technique was devised. It was the same thing. They're like, we got to roll this out right fucking now. This is great. This will change our lives. This will save us so much money and work and misery. The humans do get this, and it sucks. It hurts.
Right.
You can treat it, but like So, like, this is where we get to the blame game part of this, and we're engaging in it right now, too, because this is not, like, a Republican versus Democrat thing. This is specifically a Donald Trump thing, right? This is Donald Trump and Brooke Rollins and fucking J.D. Vance and Stephen Miller thing and Elon Musk thing. But I'm usually sympathetic to blaming past administrations and circumstances because 4 years isn't really long enough to make much positive change in our country. But it is, however, plenty of time to kill everyone. Like I said, people saw this coming. We did an episode predicting it 9 months ago, and there were people, like the Congress people, wrote letters to the administration, bipartisan, Republicans and Democrats, begging Trump to put this money back in place last year when it was cut. These are from farm states and stuff. They knew this was going to be bad, and they ignored it. But this is like how we look at government funding and stuff. And when Elon was cutting all this shit, acting like it was free handouts to scientists and fucking woke genderqueer grad students or whatever. The school run program was not charity. It was like a $10 million fence to get the $1 billion problem from eating your livestock alive. That's right. The cost benefit ratio there. And that's the thing about most stuff like USAID funding. It looks like aid, but it's really cheap self-defense. You solve a problem somewhere else so it doesn't come here.
Right.
Right. It's how they used to talk about terrorism in the Middle East, except actually accurate. So I know the USA, by the way, we talked about before, I know the USA did evil CIA stuff too, but you didn't have to get rid of the agency. You could have just stopped doing the evil stuff and just done the good stuff.
Yeah.
That is an option that's available to us.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's not an option that the Trump administration's ever going to achieve. They're like, no. can we do the opposite of that?
Right.
Actually, can we just get rid of the good stuff? You could stay open if you only do the evil stuff. That would, we might be amenable to that.
All right. So, Brooke Rollins has been doing it in all of her appearances before Congress and stuff, is doing the blame the Biden administration stuff. This is another form of that, but here's Senator Roger Marshall, who's coming up with a different group to blame. You'll never guess, Trey. It was immigrants the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we got this. We've been through this before. The eradicated storm in 1966. We'll talk about this. But this is another thing we can thank Joe Biden for. And when millions of people came out of Central America, they brought this food worm with them. It was on their bed. Right. Maybe on their flesh as well.
It was not on their pets, on their flesh. Okay. One, no, a human being would know they had a fucking screwworm infestation almost immediately. It would be agonizing. We have opposable thumbs. We can scratch at it. We also have vocal cords to tell people something's wrong. Right. Also, you would not survive the trip from the Darien Gap to fucking the Mexico-U.S. border with screwworms. You would not be able to. You would die. It takes less than a week for a screwworm infestation to kill a full grown cow. Okay.
Oh wow! So, damn. Okay, I didn't know that. I mean, it sounded fucking gnarly. I didn't know it killed you that quickly. Because from them like eating you basically.
Yeah, they eat you and breathe me inside out. Yeah.
Gee whee.
So flies aren't citizens and immigrants aren't maggots. I just need to say that out loud because Roger Marshall apparently doesn't know it. And they talk about, they're also talking about illegal cattle smuggling. Just to get a mental image here of what cattle smuggling looks like in the real world. Because what they're talking about isn't false. It's just the way they describe it's misleading. The way illegal cross international cattle smuggling works, it's not a lone immigrant or couple rustling a couple of cattle across a border. All right. It's not some migrant bringing his pet cow to America. Is that some poor vaquero rustling like a small herd through a jungle in the cover of the night? So there's the numbers here. 800,000 cattle a year cross from Guatemala into Mexico illegally. What happens is, like, ranchers bulk purchase black market ear tags and falsify veterinary statistics to blend illegal livestock into legitimate food supply chain.
Right. Just because it's cheaper to do that, like, to whatever, not get them their shots and shit like that that you have to do. It's just cheaper to do that, and so you fake it and sell them anyway.
That, but it's also in cartel money laundering. They fake cattle appear on and off your books, and you have it, and you can move it move it from your cartel drug business into your like meat processing business or whatever. Cartels like being cowboys. They wear cowboy, but like cartel guys wear cowboy boots and cowboy hats, and they ride horses and shoot guns. Pew, pew, pew. You know, it's fun for them. So right now things are pretty bleak for the $100 billion U.S. beef industry. Right now, America's cattle herds are at the smallest level since 1951. And now that Mexico can no longer send live cattle across the border, they're exporting more and more processed beef in the United States and seeing more and more profits. So basically, what Donald Trump has done by accident is offshore America, the American beef industry, to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of right. Like he's accidentally turning America green by raising oil prices. Like people, yeah. Like, yeah,
yeah. Didn't he? Didn't he already fuck the cattle people over specifically before with an Argentinian deal or something like that?
Yeah. There was a huge $20 billion beef bailout of Argentina where he's right. Because something had to do with the tariffs. I forget exactly the details.
Yeah, was it the thing where it's like we couldn't let them fail because it's like they're MAGA too, so we were bailing them out. And in the process, part of that was buying all this beef or something that fucked over our beef producers who all vote for Trump naturally. And that happened like a year ago or something, and now this is happening too.
It's like the same time with the trade war with China. They weren't taking our beef. We agreed to import Argentinian beef to give up their economy out or something like that. Anyway, I don't know the specifics of it, but yeah, we're like Trump was fucking over American ranchers and meat processing plants. So surely this is all what MAGA ranchers voted for, right? Canada just banned Texas cattle being imported because of the squirrel outbreak. Let me read here. Canada's Food Inspection Agency has announced a temporary ban on livestock from Texas because of flesh-eating squirrels discovered in calves this week. So, Texas ranchers, it feels like it's time to pivot back to emus, that 90s growth crop.
Yeah. Second time's a charm, baby. The emu thing will work out this time around. Yeah, I think I said this last time this brought up, but I watched Tremors 2 with my sons recently, rewatched it. I mean, Tremors, one of my all-time favorite fucking movies. I've seen it a ton. I hadn't seen Tremors 2 in a long time, though. Mm-hmm. But Earl, you know, it was Val and Earl from the first movie. Earl's and the way they get him roped back into the Tremors game is he blew all of his money on a emu farm or whatever. That's like the setup for that movie, which I had forgotten because that was like a thing in the 90s. I think Drew had like a uncle or something who tried to make it big in emus, and you know, didn't work out. So.
It was like Redneck Amway, bro. It was like everybody's get rich scheme in the 90s. I remember reading this.
Their wives all stockpiling beanie babies while they were fucking putting birds in the backyard and shit. Yeah, that worked out.
I never finished it, but I was working on a script about the emu boom in Texas, and I remember reading this article. You know, I was trying to get the IP for it. Was Texas Monthly in the 90s, I think. But there's the opening anecdote to it is a cop was called to a house because he heard what sounded like the neighbors reported would sound like murderous screams. And when he went to the guy's backyard, he found a guy trying to put down his backyard flock of emus he could no longer afford to feed. He was beating them to death with an aluminum baseball bat.
Jesus Christ. In Texas? He just didn't have the money for shells or whatever. He surely had. He'd already sold all of his guns for bird food. Out there fucking old yellering a bunch of giant birds with a fucking Louisville Slugger. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Yeah, and the funny part was the guy ended up not being charged with something because they forgot to make a law against doing specifically that. Yeah. nobody wrote down you can't beat emus to death in your backyard. Nobody fucking said it. You got to tell me. You have no. I'm sorry. Was I doing something wrong, officer?
Right. Show me in the rule book where it says that I can't do this.
Yeah, because the idea was like emus were supposedly it was like leaner, but it was back when you know in the 90s was the diet fat was everything was low fat, right? Like
the fat was demonized by big sugar.
Yeah, so the emus were supposedly taste like steak and were leaner, so it was going to be the hot new fad. Then no one liked it and never ate it, so everyone was just stuck with these emus. They were trying to either unload or beat to death with a bat.
Yeah, I haven't had any. I've had like emu burgers and stuff, and it ain't even close, bro. I mean, who knows how well it was prepared when I had it, but it. Good old cow meat is infinitely better. I don't know what people were thinking that would take off, but
I just can't believe we imported a bunch of emus. Were we not familiar with how the emus? If you guys aren't familiar with the emu wars,
Australia,
There's something called the Emu War in Australian history where they sent in the military to fight emus. And here's the thing you need to know about that. They lost.
They lost. Australia lost a war against emus. Yeah.
Oh, God, what a species. All right, so back to cattle for a second while we still have them. Greg Abbott declared a state of disaster last week in Texas over the imminent threat the outbreak posed. He said, quote, "This is likely to spread over the course of the summer," he told reporters on Friday. No fucking shit, dude, because you got nothing to do about it. So basically you need a lot more sterile flies and fast. And there's a $750 million sterile fly production facility in the works in Edinburg, Texas, but it won't open until the fall of 2027. So let's just politely ask the flies to stop fucking until next fall so we can roll out some dickless flies. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, no. You're talking about emus, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm sure things won't, get worse at a rapidly increasing pace between now and then or anything. The war's over now, Mark, right? So, like, the oil stuff that'll surely just be fine tomorrow and then be fine from there on out, right? So that
will be... Well, Iran says they're still going to toll ships. I don't fucking know.
Right. If it's one of those things where it's like there will still be ongoing ramifications for months now, because that's just how shit works. Even if the thing itself stops today, even if it did, the effects of it would still continue to deteriorate or whatever. Obviously, I don't fucking know. I'm dumb about all of it, but you know.
Are you talking about that?
I'm talking about the oil shit. I'm saying, well, I'm saying, because it's like if this is about to, like, sort of snowball. And there's nothing they can do about it until 2027. If that also worsens during the same time or whatever, it's just, just going to be fun times in America, I guess, is all I'm saying, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be massive fucking hurricanes and shit, too. You know, the Vols will suck. It'll just all be bad for me.
Well, in the 80s farm crisis, rednecks were able to pivot to moving cocaine, right? But now we're killing all the fucking drug boats, so we have that to fall back on. This is like, talk about how nothing, like the sum of all fears, that everything's working together to fuck us during Trump, too. Yeah. So, the onus right here, the plan right now is to ask ranchers to do a better job of inspecting their own cattle, which I need to emphasize here, their livelihood depends upon pretending that their cattle are healthy.
Right.
Right. They're trying to sell these cattle. They do not want to find screwworms on their cattle. They do want to stop spread, so maybe they'll do an honest effort. But they don't have the manpower to do this. And I need to emphasize this. The Trump administration deported all their fucking workers.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to quote here. The ranches are understaffed, facing severe labor shortages. Amazing. So, I want to finish up by talking about Nippling and Bushland again, our fucking heroes who invented the sterile insect technique. In the early days of their eradication effort, their bosses were not so certain of their success or longevity. They had to bootleg money from other programs because they didn't have enough funding. In press interviews, they worried about what laughingstocks they'd be if their, quote, idiotic insect scheme, end quote, failed and, God forbid, became an extremely mockable symptom of government waste.
I hear you. I get that. That's an impressive level of self-awareness, in my opinion, because it's going to be like, dude, our whole thing is making bugs not fuck or whatever. And it's like, if this doesn't work, people, this is not going to go over well. That's a real shot. Real risk takers, these guys. Like you said, real American heroes. You know, it's the American dream right here.
There is a senator named William Proxmire who gave out something called the Golden Fleece Award, which he invented to identify scientific projects he thought wasted taxpayer dollars. And he gave them a Golden Fleece Award back in the 1960s for wasting money on this.
Even though it does work, that still got said about them? Just because it sounds... Well, I get it. It's like a government-funded fly sex research study that spent millions of dollars, and rubes hear that and they're like, what are we spending money on that for? But there's incredibly important context that just gets left out.
It took them like 30 years off and on to perfect this.
Right.
They had to figure out what stage, pupil stage, to radiate the fly to be most effective. They had to figure out how many flies to drop. There's an island in the Florida Keys, I think. They did a bunch of drops of flies on to the scientific method. They gradually escalated how many flies they dropped to see how many it took to work to eradicate flies on that island, which was when they figured out that it actually was an effective technique at a certain scale. Right. So there was a huge time span between starting the thing and it not working, then working.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Nippling and Bushland were posthumously awarded something called a Golden Goose Award, which scientists came up to as an inverse of the Golden Fleece Award, which honors federally funded work that might have been dismissed as silly or inane, but resulted in a significant benefit to society.
Posthumously, so it's all. Yeah. Ain't that just the way?
The best you can hope for in this country is you'll be proven right once you're fucking dead.
It's so off. That always bothers me when I hear that. They were vindicated after dying because I don't think they're up there going like, see, I fucking told you. I don't think that's happening. So they died not ever knowing.
Every senator who grandstands about cutting funding for, quote, scientific waste or whatever, their descendants should be able to go into the well of the Senate and kick them in the fucking dick. Mm-hmm. That should be their reward in old good old boy farm science heaven, wherever they are right now. I also want to note that Proxmire was the first United States senator to get hair transplants, and he claimed the operation as a medical expense, which was apparently a better use of your fucking tax dollars than making dickless maggots. All right.
All right. Okay, fun times as always. Thanks for watching. Come see me on the road. That's fun, too. Thanks for everybody came in Florida. Go to TreyCrider.com. I'll be in Spartanburg and Wilmington next, and then Lowell, Arkansas, and San Diego coming up, and a bunch of other places. TreyCrowder.com. Also check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive called Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's a nice palate cleanser if you are so inclined. And consider supporting this show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month, you get access to all the ad-free versions of this show and 2 full-length bonus episodes per month, which include roughly quarterly. We just finished another one, Skew&A's, where we answer your burning questions. Either way, you keep showing up on Skews Days, and we will too. We'll see you next time. That's it for now. Love you. Bye.
Skew.